listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. This is your morning drive for the soul. Time for a little worldview watch, taking that faith which we have established in our oratio and our meditatio by our prayer and meditation upon the text of Holy Scripture and trying to apply it to what we see in the world around us. And normally today's topic is one that would show up a little more on Fridays, but we got an email about it. And so I want to take a moment and just try to dig into it a little bit, because I know it's one that bothers a lot of people. And in many ways, it shouldn't. I mean, it's going to, because the world's going to keep yammering and yammering and yammering about it. But really, it should be a closed case for those of us that are inside the church, that are inside trusting in Holy Scripture. Let me go ahead and start it off for you here by reading the email itself. And it's from Kyle. Kyle says, I heard in yesterday's episode of Cross Defense, that's the show that I do on Monday afternoons at 2 p.m., in which you talked about the danger of not taking the Scripture at its face value. While I fully agree, there is one concept that my reasoning-prone brain struggles with. You mentioned it in your comments, the creation timeline. Do you have any personal insight or know of any good resources pertaining to this? A fellow scientist friend of mine, who is not a Lutheran, says he pretty much ignores the first parts of Genesis. Well, I'm interrupting here. Well, that's a faithful thing to do. I mean, no, it's not. Jeez, really? Oh, the word of God. I'll just ignore it. I'll come back. I am passionate about this, as you'll maybe see. I think both you and I can agree on the level of following that line of thinking. Yes. But how can I defend it? I'm sure you are familiar with the argument, he says. Tracing back the lineage given in Scripture puts the creation of Adam and Eve about 6,000 years ago and the world days before that. I can admit and accept that we cannot know for certain details that he has not revealed to us. And that is what I must do, so be it. Just wondering if there's any additional advice that you have. Thank you, and God bless. Yeah, I mean, I got other advice, but you're ultimately at the right spot. If you got to say, look, I can't know everything, that's a great place to start. That's a great place to start, especially given the history of science, which has been wrong regularly. That's part of what makes science great, is that by being wrong often enough, it can find the right answer. But you also have within that a history of dogmatism amongst scientists, so-called, that gets in the way of finding out that we're wrong. You know, it wasn't the church that was against Copernicus. You know this, historically speaking, it very much was not the church. It was the scientific community of the day that got the church all angry about it, but it was the scientists who were mad about Copernicus. And similarly today, it's the so-called scientists who got their eyes closed when it comes to being honest about criticisms to Darwinian evolution. That's the first piece here. It's treated like it's like this all unassailable fact of truthiness that can never be questioned, when there's all sorts of questions about evolution, strictly mathematically. I mean, for me, the issue with evolution, what it always comes back to is the math. If you do the math on it, from cosmology to geology to life itself and biology, it doesn't make sense. It is impossible. No one would bet on this happening once, let alone again and again and again, as we see in the design. Even here, the evolutionists are always talking about this. They say the word design all the time. They don't catch themselves because the evolution designed it this way. The evolution is the opposite of design. Evolution is accident. You can't have accidental design. So something's going on there. So there's plenty to question with, and there's plenty of websites out there. The Creation Research Institute, which you hear the thing, you know, every day, the 1 minute little blip there, they got some good stuff. I don't always like everything that they put out, but they've got some good stuff. They're paying believing scientists to do research. The article last Friday that was shared about the geologist who is trying to just study the strange patterns that don't fit the theory about the Grand Canyon and how it somehow happened. You know, he's trying to study that and ask, well, does a flood explain this? I mean, that's out there. You can find this information out there, but ultimately it's not going to fix your problem. And this is just it. The problem is do you believe or not, right? Your friend who's just going to ignore that part of the Bible, he's just chosen not to believe. And that's why it's dangerous. That's the leaven that's dangerous. That's the high-handed sin. Now, I'm not saying he's outside the faith, right? But he's taken a step that direction by treating Scripture as less than himself. He's called God a liar. Now, the other advice I have in this, now we're going to go back to scientifically speaking here a little bit. And then I'll try to answer a little bit about the genealogy and how I deal with the genealogies. But the other issue that I have here is how in all of our arguments and calculations about this stuff, we ignore, creation science often goes with the flood. which is important. I think it's a worldwide flood's going to leave evidence. It's going to have an effect on things. And certainly, what kind of effect? We want to talk about climate change, for Pete's sake. You know, the scientists are always talking about this great ice age that happened that covered the Earth. Oh, really? Really? Something with a lot of water covered the Earth? Huh. Go figure. You know, they're always talking about that, right? So the flood's important. But there's something else that happened that was even bigger than the flood. Between creation and the present. It was so big. It was so cataclysmically destructive that the world's never been the same again. It's called the fall. You might have heard of it. We don't think about it much, though, but we know a few things. We know that nature itself changed at a cosmically impossible level. And the example, right out of the scriptures, is this. Plants began to grow thorns. Lions stopped eating plants and began to eat animals. This was what we would have to call a supernatural change that happened in an instant. But what kind of effects did it leave? You want to talk about the date of carbon? You're trying to trace carbon back to the Big Bang? Well, between us and the Big Bang, so far as Jesus is concerned, death entered the world. What kind of change does that have? Decay entered the world with a flaming sword wielded by a seraphim. You think that's going to leave a mark? Do you think maybe we can't see past that mark? You think it might obscure our attempts to see past that mark? I do. I think all attempts to try to study creation are vanity and folly. At best, we can figure out that there was a fall. But when? You can't say from science. You can't say. The instruments won't allow us. The instruments themselves are flawed. Now, I'm not saying that we can't look at carbon dating now and say it works as it does now. Absolutely. At least within its limitations, which if you study it, you find there's limitations to how long it works and all this kind of stuff. But I am saying, you know, you're not going to see further back. The stars have light that's reaching us that started billions of years ago. Oh, how clever. Well, maybe the light was created on the way. I mean, why would you not create a tree that's got leaves on it already? I would. I wouldn't create a tree as a seed and wait for it to grow. I'd just make the tree. So why would I make a star with the light already shining? I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's always an answer to these questions. And they're not rocket science. You don't have to be a scientist to think in these ways. Now, the genealogy question, that is annoying. I'll give you that. The genealogy question is annoying, but it is founded, the question itself is founded on a very, dare I call it, modern and ignorant approach to the Bible. It's going to the Bible and saying, I'm going to force the Bible to answer a question the Bible doesn't care about answering. And so you go and you say, I'm going to take all these numbers and I'm going to turn them into a Western historical math problem. Two things which did not really exist at the time this was being written down. Western history and Western math as ways of thinking. It just wasn't in their minds. And so you go and you take these numbers and you add them all up and you think, there you go, I did it. But you just thought like someone who's not in any way versed in the Hebrew scriptures at all and what they're wanting to tell you. And so the easy answer to this one is that their version of genealogy simply didn't care that much about having everybody ever in the genealogy. They cared more about the history that the genealogy symbolized. And you see this clearly when the New Testament takes great liberties with genealogies. Great liberties to move stuff around, to forget people, to skip whole generations. Matthew's genealogy, I think, clearly skips generations. You see this in Revelation when John is numbering the tribes of Israel and he removes some of them and adds other ones that weren't really tribes. They just have a different way of thinking than we do. And for us to go back and try to hamstring them into our scientific question, well, it's misguided and it's arrogant. And so that's how I handle the genealogy questions. I don't know. I'm not going to add it all up and say that's it. I can tell you, I think, it's very unlikely that the Earth is older than 8, 9, 10,000 years. Like that's we can add a few thousand years in there somewhere. There's not much more than that. We're not sitting here for billions of years. And the reason for that is, again, the fall. The reason for that is death. Why do I believe this at all? Why do I refuse to budge and always look for the answer that's going to explain it? And there always is one, because it's true. Because just as sin came into the world through one man, death came through sin. And so death spread to all men because all men sinned. And death reigned from Adam to Moses. But the free gift is not like the trespass. If many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ believed he was a new Adam. Which means he believed there was an Adam. One man who existed before death. A man and a woman who lived through the cataclysmic change and saw it happen. Dear heavens, what a horrifying thing to see and be a part of. And whoa, where'd that garden go? You know? And I believe because Jesus historically rose from the dead, and this is all but provable, again, scientifically, no. Court of law, yes. Because this is a historical fact, and Jesus says, I'm doing this to fix the thing Adam did, which has brought death, then therefore any theory which tries to explain everything based on death already being here has to, by de facto, it's got to be wrong. It's got to be wrong. It's got a major flaw in it. It's making stuff up. Which, by the way, you know, a lot of the textbooks have to do. If you study this long enough, you see there's still in the textbook stuff there that isn't even true. Pictures that were drawn in the 1800s as like, well, this is what we should find. And they didn't even, you know, the horse one, right? Yeah. We're out of time. Yeah. Can you tell I'm passionate about this? Just a little bit passionate about this. Why? Because death entered the world through one man and life came through one man. And you deny that that one man is the one who did it? What business have you hoping in the one man who fixed it? You ignore the first two chapters of Genesis? I'm sorry, you're ignoring the death and resurrection of Jesus. You don't even know it. Scary stuff, yeah? You're listening to His Time, Worldview Watch here on Worldwide KFUO. This has been your morning drive for the soul. I am your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. And I'll tell you what, universe, that one man, Jesus Christ, he's coming back. It may not be today, may not be tomorrow, but in either case, I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.